Deuteronomy 28. I'd just like to turn there briefly before we move on. This is Old Covenant, which was abolished on the day of Pentecost. Those of you who live in the United States, up till the year 1776, you were under the rule of the King of England. Then America broke free. I don't think anybody here wants to go back under the Queen of England today. But lots of Christians live in the old covenant that was abolished on the day of Pentecost. I wonder why. Usually ignorance. You know, over 100 years ago, when Abraham Lincoln proclaimed freedom for all the slaves in America, the slave masters never wanted the slaves to know about that. There were no newspapers or television that they could, or radio that those slaves could hear. So they kept them in ignorance, and the result was for many, many decades, they remained slaves. Why? Freedom had been proclaimed, but they were not aware of it. It's a perfect example of Christians today who are defeated by anger, sexual lust, and many other sins. Freedom was proclaimed on Calvary and in the day of Pentecost, but they have not heard about it. The devil makes sure that they never hear about it. Just like those slave masters, the devil's the greatest slave master of all, did not want the slaves to know their good news because they wanted the slaves to keep on serving them. And the devil wants his slaves to keep on serving him. Keep on grumbling, keep on complaining, keep on losing your temper at your wife or your husband, and keep on loving money, and keep on keeping bitterness in your heart, keep on with an unforgiving spirit. The devil wants them to be slaves for the rest of their lives. Dear brothers and sisters, in this church we proclaim freedom. Not a freedom we got in any of our cleverness. Jesus died. Think of the price he paid to set people free. Abraham Lincoln didn't have to pay a price to set people free, but Jesus paid a tremendous price to set people free. And when you despise that freedom, you're despising Jesus Christ. So let me show you Deuteronomy 28. He said, if you diligently obey the Lord will bless you with all these blessings. All these blessings, verse 2, will come upon you and overtake you. What are those blessings? You'll be blessed with many children. That's the one that many people don't want, verse 4. You'll be blessed in your business, and you'll be blessed when you come in and go out, and your enemies will be defeated, verse 7. Your business will prosper, your barns will, those days it was fields and out in the fields and barns. The Lord will bless you whatever you put your hand to, the middle of verse 8. Imagine that. You put your hand to something, the Lord blesses it. Financially. And he'll make you a holy people for himself, a set apart people. And the people of the earth will see how the Lord has blessed you, and they'll be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity. That they want. In the offspring of your body, no, they don't want that. And the Lord will give you from heaven a storehouse to rain upon your land, because that's how they became prosperous those days. They were all farmers. And you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And then, but if you don't listen, you will be sick, and the Lord will make, verse 21, pestilence to cling to you. He'll smite you with consumption and fever, verse 22. And you'll be defeated before your enemies, verse 25. The boils of Egypt, verse 27, will come upon you. Basically, God will give you wealth and health. And your enemies will be defeated. In the New Testament, Jesus tells us to be free from the love of money. Exact opposite. And some people think, not really interested in it, because they would like to be Jesus to free from diseases, but not from the love of money. How many believers do you think there are who are praying, Lord, heal me from all my sicknesses? Everyone. How many are praying, Lord, deliver me from the love of money? Rarely. Hardly anybody. So, I want to turn to the Gospel of Luke. There's a section in the middle of the Gospel of Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, from chapters 16 to 21. It's those six chapters right in the middle of Luke, which are like a, we can say, a section on money. That's the subject. And not the, every verse in that chapter, but a number of things that Jesus spoke in those six chapters. Now, I'm not going to go into detail, but I would encourage you, if you want to experience a freedom in your life that you have not experienced before, read those chapters and meditate on it and be honest with yourself before God. As an introduction, let me read to you verse 13 of Luke 16. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters. Do you know the two masters Jesus spoke about? Not God and Satan, but God and wealth. God and wealth. Those are the two masters Jesus spoke about. The last part of verse 13. You cannot serve God and wealth, or God and money. Mammon is an Aramaic word which they use for wealth. It's symbolized like an idol. What Jesus is saying here is, there is God and there is an idol. Now, if it is a physical idol, none of us ever bow down before it. But here the idol is sort of invisible. It's money. And do you know the number of believers who bow down before it? Oh God, please give me more of yourself. Number of believers. And who get excited when their idol blesses them in some way. You cannot serve God and that idol of wealth. Can you have money? Sure. Jesus had money. He worked as a carpenter to earn money. And he must have earned quite a bit to support other members in his family. There were 8 members in his family. Joseph had died, and Jesus was the eldest son. Up to the age of 30, he had 4 younger brothers, 2 sisters at least, perhaps more, we don't know, and his widowed mother. And he had to work and earn money for them. It's been quite a lot he had to earn. But he didn't worship money. He didn't live for money. Yeah, there are not many believers who have 8 members in their family to support. But Jesus did. And he did a faithful job of it. But he did not love money. He did not worship money. And he also said something more here. When you think of these two masters as God and money, you can't serve them, verse 13. And this is amazing. You will hate one in order to love the other. Have you thought of that? That if you love money, you hate God? Now, if I were to tell you hate God, you hate Jesus Christ, you'd say, no, I love Jesus Christ. Hang on, let's have a test. There are people who think they don't have a problem with high blood pressure. Take a test, you'll find you probably have it. Or they think they don't have diabetes. Take a test. No harm. There's no harm in taking a test. Isn't that what they do with our children in school? Take a test and see if you know the subject. Take a test. Whether you hate money and love God, whether you're devoted to God and despise money, or whether you will be devoted to money and despise God. There's a lot of difference between having money, earning money, even a lot of money, and loving it and being devoted to it. It's speaking here about being loving it and being devoted to it. We have to love God and be devoted to Him. And to do that, we have to sort of cut off this natural attachment to money that is in every human being. And like I've often said, it's not only the rich people. Don't think someone who's rich loves money. I've used this example. Every homeless man loves money. You see these homeless people standing on the streets? You think they don't love money? They're waiting to get more and more of it. The beggars in India, and there are thousands of them, every one of them loves money. There are rich people who love money, and there are many rich people who don't love money. It's got nothing to do with your bank account. It's got nothing to do with the amount of your income. And I'll tell you another thing. Only you know whether you love money or not. I tell you, you may have been married for 50 years. Your wife does not know whether you love money or not. She may know many other things about your habits, but love of money is such an inward thing, you can fool even your wife. But you can't fool God. And I'll tell you one thing. This is the number one reason why many believers do not get more revelation on the Word of God, do not get more devoted to the Lord, and are not more useful in God's hands. Because there's something that's sapping their energy. There's a hole in the vessel that's making them leak.